Hello, this is Pastor Fred Brooks from Christ Family Church, located at 18506 Telegraph Road in Brownstown, Michigan. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to this message via podcast today, and I pray it'll be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. Christ Family is a Spirit-filled church full of people who are passionate about the things of God and who believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If we can ever be of service to you, or you would like more information about Christ Family, simply contact us through our website at christfamily.com. May the Lord bless you, and remember, you are always welcome at Christ Family.
Today is a historic day in my life because it's the first time that we are bringing our newest addition to our family to church, Ezekiel. As my wife, hold him up. Yeah. Ezekiel Luciano Basio. And that means God strengthens by God's light. And I think Basio means we're bossy. I don't know. I think that that's what it comes down to. But it's a very big day for us because, and any parent can appreciate this, we successfully made it with two kids this morning, and we've never done that before. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, man. I got a lot of respect for you. It's new, and it was a lot harder than I thought it'd be. We got here. I didn't even care about time. At that point, it just kind of is a side note. It's like just getting here is, I'm grateful to be up here, literally. I mean that. I'm so happy that I'm here, because for a moment I didn't think I would be, but I'm really grateful that I'm here. And you know, it's been really, really interesting these past 3 weeks with my first son, Patrick Giovanni, getting used to having a little brother. And it was really funny because in the beginning we saw he was hugging him and he was kissing him and he was kind of you know, just enjoying him. And I think that lasted for a couple days, and then after that, I think I heard him say at one point, bye-bye, when with his hand. And so I think what he was trying to say was, this has been fun. This has been, it's been great these last 2 days. It's been a great time, but we're all set here now. You can head out. But the good news, so he hasn't fully comprehended that he's not leaving. So we'll see how he does as time goes on. But I want to share something with you this morning, and I think it's going to be just a good word. I pray touch your heart, quicken your heart. And you know what we're going to do? Because I don't know if you know this, but today is Palm Sunday. Let's raise a palm in the air if you come on. And just pump it like you don't care. Come on. But we do care. But today, in Palm Sunday, for those of you who are unfamiliar, that is when we celebrate when Jesus rode in on a donkey, and they were waving palms and laying them down before him. And it was that giant celebration that took place just before the worst of time would take place, when Jesus would then be crucified. And so this is our day of celebration and our day of praise. And so we're going to end this service the way it started, by praising the Lord. Amen. Because I think it just makes sense, and it's what we want to do because he's worthy. So I want to start by reading this scripture, and I know it's the world's most popular scripture. It's John 3:16. So if you have your Bible, if you have your Bible app, I'm sure many of you have this highlighted. If you're like Coach in the front, there isn't much that's not highlighted. There it is. So we're going to read this together. And why don't you read it with me? And we'll do it. All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. At this church, and I'm going to tell you, in life, we believe that all people are loved by God and that all people need Jesus as their Savior. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That scripture declares it, and if anybody tells you differently, it's just not true. All people are loved by God, everyone is, and all people need Jesus as their Savior. That is what's under fire today, and that is what a lot of people question. But I'm telling you this, the Bible says it's true, and we know it is. Now, what I want, the question that I want to ask, and the question that I want to leave us with as we're thinking is, when people see you, do they see Jesus with skin on? When people see you, at any point, family, friends, work, not only what do they see, but do they see Jesus? And not only Jesus, but not only Jesus from the Bible, but physically, not obviously you don't look like Jesus, but you're who you are. I mean, is this the living embodiment? Now, that can be a tall order, and that can be a little scary when we think about that. I tell you, it's scary for me to say that because in my own life, it's such a tall order. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is our Savior. And I think a lot of times we have trouble connecting that because we see our frailty. We know we're so far from Him. And He knows that too. But He called us to be Him to the world. So how do we do that? Well, I want to start by just sharing a quick story here. My dear friend, my good friend, Josh is here this morning, and he's up front. And the cool thing is Josh was actually my youth leader when I was in youth group. And I want to take you back 15 years ago to a youth student, just 16 years old, who had, who on the outside looked like everything was just great, you know, but on the inside I had a real long to belong. And as a pastor's kid, it became difficult to not feel like the odd man out and not feel like it was, you know, sometimes that you're just different. You're just treated a little different in a different kind of way. And Josh, as a youth leader, was one of the first youth leaders to not only bring me to his house, but just hang out with me, just spend time with me and get to know me. And we built a strong friendship. He stood up in my wedding. I stood up in his wedding. We've gone on trips together, and we just have a lot of history. We have a lot of that. In fact, I was going on a trip with a friend the other day, and we were thinking about the people in our lives who've made an impact and, you know, not being able to say thank you enough. And, you know, Josh, I just want to say here in front of everybody, thank you. He's a true friend. And I think about him, and I think about, you know, what does that look like? For me, as a student, you couldn't tell from the outside, but I really did. I had a lot of struggles on the inside, and he just became somebody that I could talk to, who we had a relationship. And I think that when we think about being Jesus to the world, I think sometimes we tend to overcomplicate it. In reality, he became somebody who, for me, just was there. You know, we had a relationship, and that was enough. It just meant the world. And I think about the Word and who God is and how, you know, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that He's closer in the whisper of His name. And, you know, that's when you can relate to people in your life. You know those people in your life who are there. Who has some of those people in your life, or who have had in your life at one point in time? You just know them. I mean, that kind of relationship and knowing that somebody's going to be there for you, that's an awesome thing. That's what Jesus was to His disciples. That's what His disciples were to them. They had real relationships. So what I want to do is just give a couple examples of practical ways, because I think we say to each other all the time, yeah, we got to be Jesus to the world. Man, you got to just be Jesus. But the question then I think a lot of people ask is, how? How do I do that? Because I'm me. And Lord knows that I've got a lot of shortcomings. But how do I do that? Well, Josh was that to me in my life, but I want to share a couple, I think, really simple ways and practical ways that we can begin today looking at ourselves as ways that we can be Jesus to this world and they can look at us and see Jesus with skin on. So here's the first point I want to give to you. Raise your awareness. And I'm going to read the scripture, Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 45. We're going to read that together right now. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 45. And this version on my phone, I think, is a little different, so I want to make sure I'm reading the one up here with you guys. It says, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed Him, for they were all expecting Him. And then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded with Him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So I just want to paint this scene right now. Jesus, here's a synagogue leader, come to him and basically beg, hey, my daughter, this is my only daughter. Will you please, please come and heal her? I know you can do it. And for a synagogue leader to do that, that was a big deal. Jesus was on a mission, and he had something that was blatantly obvious. He saw a need that was blatantly obvious. And how many of us in our lives, we have no problem missing the blatant, obvious needs. A lot of times they're our own needs. They're with us, and it's hard to overlook them. And so Jesus had one of those needs that came to him. It wasn't his own, but it was somebody else. But here's the cool thing. The Bible, I think, is really awesome because it doesn't give too much detail, but it gives enough to where it lets you set the scene. It said the crowds almost crushed him. So you can imagine if the Bible's saying the crowds almost crushed him, that there is not only a lot of people around him, there are people are smashed against things. That word crushed is pretty specific. So, you know, think sardine jar. People are just smashed on top of each other going through this Jerusalem street. And it says, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Let's go on. Jesus asked, who touched me? And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. I don't even think Peter said it. I think Peter yelled it. Because if you can imagine this scene, there's so many people there. You know that they were loud and you know they were on top of each other. So Peter is just yelling, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. What are you talking about? So he's asking at the top of his lungs. I really believe that. And Jesus says, who touched me? And he knew somebody touched him. Well, the story goes on that the woman says it was me and her faith. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And we've heard this story before. But I want to relate this to something. Jesus had an amazing level of awareness. The things that were happening around him, he was always in tune to and he was always aware of. Now, he was God, but he was also fully human. One of the things in my life that God has really been working on me about is raising my awareness to what's going on around me. There are people in your lives who have needs and who are going through things, people who don't look like they're going through things. But like I just shared as an example earlier, as a teenager, I tended to look like on the outside everything was great, but on the inside I had a long to belong. And there are so many people in our lives this week that you're going to come in contact with that you know already who look fine, who look great on the outside. But the truth is that they have a long to belong. And without Jesus, that long continues to go on, and they have a need. The question is whether or not you make yourself aware of it. I'm letting you know right now that we have to raise our awareness, church, to realize that there are people who look like everything's fine, but we know there's a long to belong. Know that. Raise your awareness. If you have anyone around you that ever comes in contact with you, needs, not only needs, but just anything comes up, God is giving us opportunities all day long to go to somebody and pray with them. And so all I'm letting you know as an encouragement is, don't let some of those opportunities go past. Don't let these people go past. Next week is the Super Bowl of Sundays, Easter. Is that right? Is that what you call it? People come to church on that Sunday. They just do. It's ingrained in who they are. This week, who are you going to come in contact with? Raise your awareness. The other thing, too, is sometimes we need to raise our own self-awareness because there are moments where we have a testimony to share. And looking inside of us, we're always not self-aware of the fact that we could either be giving away our testimony right then in that moment by something we said or did. Who at a moment of frustration has ever said something that you regretted saying? Anybody out here? I am the first to raise my hand. And it can haunt you. But you know what's so cool is if anybody ever tries to say to you, hey, I thought you were a Christian, what's up with that? You know what? I think that's a perfect time to say, and that's why I'm a Christian. Because I need Jesus. Right there. God is giving you opportunity. Even when you mess up, I don't want you to ever feel like I can't speak to somebody. I can't be aware of it because they've seen me sometimes at bad moments. That's a lie from the enemy. God is calling you, Mr. and Mrs. Imperfect, to use your imperfections as an example of why you and everybody else needs Jesus. Amen? I hope that encourages somebody today, because that's been me in my life, especially at work. At times, it's just been difficult to want to share because I know that I've said things or done things that people might look and say, hey, you know, this guy, hey, what are you doing talking about Jesus? You just said that thing at the water cooler. But that's why. That's why, because I know I need him, right? I don't have to. The worst way to try to show to somebody they need Jesus is be perfect, because then they say, I can't be this person. So that's one thing I want to just let you know, raise your awareness, raise your self-awareness. If you've made mistakes, that doesn't make you ineligible to share about your faith. Amen? The next thing I want to share with you is we've got this theme on believe going on right now. and what do we need to do? We need to realize that all human life, from womb to the tomb, I like that, has value. Amen? From womb to the tomb, everyone has value, and it matters. And what do we need to do? We need to see and treat people the way that God sees and treats people. It's bigger than our fear. That's the big thing that I want to say that God's been speaking to me lately too, is that this faith, this love, this thing that's happening right now as we're here, it is so much bigger than just our fear. And I think that's I look at my life sometimes and I think to myself in my head, I'm like, I want to do this for God, or I want to say this to this person, and I don't. And I say to myself, well, why didn't I take that step? Why didn't I do it? Sometimes I ask that. Is anybody else, am I the only one who has conversations with myself? Somebody else do that? Make me feel better about myself. Do you? Okay, thank you. I talk to myself in my head, and there are times where I'm disappointed because something, and I say, well, why didn't I? Was it because I didn't make time? I didn't have the time? You know, that's an excuse we use a lot. Or, you know, is it just because I thought something else was more important that I needed to do? Or what is it? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that much of the reason why we don't push to our potential in God is because it's rooted in fear. There's a fear inside of us that is crippling. I will, at times, send an email to somebody and hold off sending it because I say to myself, I don't know. They could look at it this way. It could come across that way. It could be this. It could be that. Or maybe this isn't the right timing. Maybe this. There's all these questions that go through your mind, and the reality is all these questions are simply just fear taking over and crippling us from taking action. Something really, really cool, your thought that I heard recently, and I thought this was a pretty good way to put it, it's that your thoughts determine your attitude, which determine your actions, which determine your results. In life, what happens to you? It all starts with your thoughts. So what do you believe? Well, let me tell you what I believe. I believe that 1 John 4:18 is true. And 1 John 4:18 says this. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. What is that saying? It's saying that if you're struggling with doubts, and I can tell you I've been there before, and if you're struggling, because I think fear precedes doubt. And then doubt, for many of us, turns into guilt. And you say to yourself, why am I doubting? I shouldn't be doubting. I'm a Christian. And then you feel guilty. And then guilt leads to condemnation. So now you're not only guilty for feeling that way, but then you say, well, because I'm guilty, I'm now condemned. I'm not good enough. And you live in that world. But it's really not that complicated, because if we just truly believe in this love, if we embrace this love, if we say this love is so true, it's so real, and even if I don't feel it right now, I can see throughout history by looking around this room that there are people who've been touched by the love of God. How can I doubt it? The love is the antidote. It's the cure. If we believe in love, there can be no fear. Perfect love drives out fear. The doubt, the struggles, the crippling fear that's caused you not to be able to talk to somebody about Jesus, to invite them to Easter, just to speak out in life, it's fear. But the cool thing is this, God is bigger than your fear. And love, true love, amen? Who's receiving this? True love can be trusted. And that's the thing that we have to believe in, is that you can trust in the love of God. You can trust that it's bigger than you. If you feel small, if you feel like you're too small to share and open your mouth, it's because you are. But his love is greater than your inadequacies, your insecurities. Amen? So know this word and embrace the love of God. You know, when I'm truly feeling and I'm just living in the love of God, I don't care what I look like when I worship God. When I'm truly in love, I don't care what other people think about me. Who's ever really been in love? We could talk with another human being. Okay, there's two people. We have a real love shortage in this church. A real love shortage. Not a lot of... We had a love deficiency at Christ. No, I know that's not true. Come on, who's ever felt that feeling, right? Now, there's different levels of love, and pastors talked about that. You know, you have agape, phileo, phileo fish love. No, you have these different kinds of love. So it's a little bit different, but I do think that there's parallels. I mean, the love of God is different from the love between us and somebody else. We understand that. We know that. So let's not misinterpret what I'm trying to say. But what I will say right now is you can find parallels between the way that you do not care and you just lose fear when you are head over heels in love with somebody. Who hears me on that? You don't care. I think our first date, okay, my wife's not there, so I just pointed to you, Robert. There you go. That was awkward. We did not go on a date. Just want to clear that up. Oh, man, bad timing. My first date with my wife, I think I wore a... I brought my guitar outside this restaurant, and I played a song for her. Well, I know. I haven't done it since then, so maybe you shouldn't do that. Part of it's because it was so embarrassing, but more for her than me, really, because, like I'm telling you, I just didn't care. People were pulling in this parking lot. People were, you know, parking and walking out, and I'm out there playing a song. And the truth is, at that moment, there's a lot of people who looked at me and might have thought it was really nice, and probably other people who looked at me and thought, oh my gosh, I just want to go and eat. Can't this guy go someplace else and do this? Truly, right? And more often than not, as a person, you're probably thinking to yourself, what is this person thinking about me right now? What's that person thinking about me? What's this person thinking as I walk by? But I'll be honest with you, I didn't care because I was in love. Still am. And I know a lot of us in this room have felt the same way. A lot of things that in your natural mind you would care about, you just stop caring about. Can I tell you, if that's the way you feel about a person, when you truly embrace the love of God and you're living in it, how much more do you just say, well, who cares? This love is so real. I have eternity to spend with my Savior Jesus and what he did for me, what he did on that cross and what he did by coming on this earth. It changes everything. It changed history. It changed my life. I can't help but just praise you, God. I can't help but worship you, God. And then all of a sudden, those thoughts of love determine our attitude, which is joy, which is peace, which determine our actions, which is loving others, caring for others, which then determine our outcome, which is a life of gratitude and fulfillment because we're living wholly in the love of God, right? So I just want to say this is more than just a nice thing to say. Much of our life and much of what stops us from really being Jesus is fear. And number one, what I'm saying is be aware of the fact. Raise your awareness. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm preaching to the choir right now by saying that's been something that I haven't done in the past because I'm tunnel vision focused on my life. But man, once you raise that awareness, you will be surprised how God can use you and the people that he can use you to talk to you never would have thought. And the second thing I'm saying is that what's been stopping you is your fear. And God has already overcome that. You just have to just be and embrace that love because when you do, that fear is non-existent. I had just some, that's really just a short synopsis of what I wanted to share. And I said from the beginning that we would end with a praise song. So I want to just call Daniel and the worship band back up right now. As they come up, I... I want to thank this family for being love. And I think as a family, we saw earlier today people up here. We saw them, many crying, many reaching out to God. And then I saw people coming alongside them. We do it here because we know that we're not going to be judged, that we're comfortable doing that here. We've got a family that believes it. But, you know, there's a world of people out there who need just that, what happened. They really do. But they never would be able to say it or articulate it to you because they don't realize that that's what they need. But they need that. Some of us in this room probably need that too. We've been resisting that for some time. But what I'll tell you is there is nothing like the love of God. Nothing. If you think, as I was describing to you, what I did, you know, on my date and the other things that I've done being head over heels, and some of you know you're sitting next to your spouse or your fiance, your girlfriend, boyfriend, and you can think about times where they had done something and they just really did throw inhibition to the wind and just did something remarkable. And those are awesome moments, right? But, you know, you think about that and you think about just in an even deeper level, when you really get this love of God and when you really just embrace it. I mean, we could talk about it forever, but that is what people are craving. That is what I'm craving. I don't know about you, but that's what you're craving. We have this long to belong. And so I just want to spend time loving God. I want to spend time worshiping God. I want to spend time adoring him. And I just want him to wrap his loving arms around us right now. So let's stand up here together. I want to call the pastor forward. And let's praise the God tonight, today. Let's praise God today, right now. Right now, let's just close our eyes, just stay focused. God, I can't understand your love, that you would die and that you would give it all up for a sinner like me. God, sometimes we look at John 3:16, God, and it just becomes old hats, old news to us. And we think, God, I'm moving on to deeper theology and bigger things and all of that, But God, I pray that you just bring us back to the center, that you bring us back to the heart of it right now. That God, we would see the reality of your love, God, and we would see that Jesus, much of the things and the struggles and the fear we've had to push to our potential in you is all rooted in this fear that has already been overcome by your love. You've already overcame it, God. Any fear of speaking out, any fear of praising you with freedom, any fear that's stopping us from just telling family members Jesus loves you, God, any of those fears, Father, has been overcome by your love, God. And when we experience perfect love, when we experience perfect beyond comprehension love, Father, none of those fears have a place anymore. And so, God, we praise you right now. We worship you right now. God, I pray for those in this room that maybe have struggled with really believing the love of God. That God, there's just been a doubt inside of them that is at their core, that no matter what they see you do in other people's lives, they just can't believe that you would do it for them. And I pray against that doubt right now. And we pray in Jesus' name that as this song is sung, that as these prayers are lifted up, that God, you and your love would reign in this place. That God, you would just sweep away and wash away the fear and the doubt and the anxiety and all these thoughts the world tries to tell us about how, God, this is old, this isn't real. But Father, it's in me, it's real. And God, we praise you right now, Lord, and we thank you, God, because as we lift up your praise in your name today, God, there's a world that we're going to touch, Father, just by being and living your love. So let's praise him right now.